Big Les's League, an all rugby league experience.
Hello, welcome back to Big Les's League, an all rugby league experience. I'm your host, Big Les. Let's get into your review of all of your Saturday games from round six. The Seagulls and the Wires, the Eels and the Cowboys, and then the Rabbitohs taking on the Cronulla Sharks. We'll start off with the first game on your Super Saturday, the Seagulls and the Warriors. What about this game? The first draw of the year. Obviously, both sides playing some great football. The Warriors, I feel like if they didn't make as many errors, they probably could have won this game, to be honest. You know, the Seagulls made a few errors as well, but it was errors exclusively that let the Warriors down in this game. The Seagulls, they were playing some really tough, competitive football through the middle. DCE had another blinder this week. Really solid stuff from the Manly Seagulls. As for the Warriors, Sean Johnson looking very good yet again this week. Was nearly in my team of the week. I was picking between him and DCE from this game because they were the standouts in the number 7 jersey. It really was one of the better halfback showdowns that we've seen this season and that I've seen in a while. It was really, really solid football and both sevens really competing. Dallin Watene-Zalesniak, want to give a shout out to him for the Warriors as well. He, just the way he ran the ball and those kick returns every single time, it was just with 110% intensity. The way that he runs the ball back off those kick returns is just so entertaining to watch. It's like gladiators going to war. He looks like he's going to war every time he runs the ball back, especially when he runs straight into the middle of the park. Doesn't care if there's forwards there ready to mark him. He is just running full throttle and always manages to get the better of the contact as well. So DWZ, he had a blinder in this one for me. Even if he didn't score a try in this game, I still would have had him as one of the better wingers in this contest. But let's go through the game. We'll start off with the Warriors. Obviously, as we said at the start, it was errors that let them down at the end of the day. A lot of errors made by some of their key men, particularly Jackson Ford on that left-hand side. We're going to talk about the right edge defense of the Manly Seagulls when we get to them, but it was a main reason as to why the left side couldn't execute too much. I think, you know, Jackson Ford knocked it on twice. We had RTS knock it on twice as well. You know, there was a lot of errors on that left-hand side of the park, and credit to the Manly defense as well for stopping a lot of those opportunities. Obviously, Manly identified that that is where the Warriors make most of their plays. They are very left-hand side dominant, and obviously with a Ruben Garrick being out of this game, Ben Trbojevic having to come in at center and defend that left-hand side of the Warriors, he did a sensational job, and the left-hand side couldn't do much with the football. Yes, they still look dangerous. Yes, most of them ran over 100 metres. I think RTS and Marcelo Montoya got over the 100-metre mark at a few runs in this game, but most of the time, a lot of those opportunities down that left-hand side were shut down because of the defence of that right-hand side for the Manly Seagulls. I thought it was really solid. But yeah, the Warriors, just a lot of errors to start this game. And again, particularly from that left-hand side, it was a tough physical game. And when Manly got the ball in their hands, they really used it well. They scored a lot of tries. They were leading by a lot, I believe, at halftime too. So they definitely had the run of the ball in that first half. And as I said, just capitalized on a lot of their opportunities, the Seagulls. Credit to the Warriors and their defense as well. Obviously, DCE got that try fluke in the first half. That first try that he scored was a fluke. Obviously, the second one was a lot better and off the run of play. But credit to the Warriors' defense. DCE's first try was in the 9th minute. The second one came in the 23rd minute. So for most of that first half, the Warriors' defense was switched on. It was that tough physical game through the middle. It took them 20 minutes or so to score another try through DCE again, getting a double in the first half, and then Tommy Talau in the 27th minute. So for most of that first half, the Warriors, they did defend quite well. And for most of this game, the Warriors defended quite well. Going into the second half, though, the Warriors, they were on top. They were the better team. A lot less errors made. They still made quite a few errors, but a lot less errors made from the Warriors in this game. In that second half, they were the better team. And a lot of that came through Sean Johnson. He was outstanding in this game. The way that he ran the ball as well, obviously drawing in defenders, went right into the line, had 21 runs of the football in this game for 147 metres, 13 post-contact metres. He had a line break assist, a try assist, 4 tackle busts. He made 13 tackles, kicked for a total of 665 metres off 21 kicks. He was outstanding. I thought that he was really good at seven. And as I said, this duel between Sean Johnson and DCE was so good to watch. One of the real standouts, though, in this game and stood out for the past few weeks since his return from injury, Chance Nickel-Klokstad. While a lot of people watching this game probably wouldn't have noticed he stood out, he had 33 runs of the footy, 346 metres, 81 of those being kick return metres. He had 89 post-contact metres, one line break, 8 tackle busts. What a monster performance from Chance Nickel-Klokstad. Absolutely insane. And coming off the back of last week's performance where he really stood out against the Rabbitohs in attack, but also in defence, even defensively in this one, was quite solid as well. Just so good at the moment, Chance Nickel-Klokstad, really in form, and a guy that not a lot of people are talking about at the moment, obviously, when he is having these big performances, especially over the past 2 weeks, he has been very, very good. As we spoke about before, Dallin Wontenhis-Elezniak having a blinder, 205 metres off 18 runs, 38 post-contact metres. He had 4 tackle busts in this game as well. Very, very dangerous. And as I said, every time he ran the ball back on those kick returns, he was just like a freight train, just running at 110% towards the defensive line. No fear at all. He was outstanding. Rocco Berry having a solid week as well, 119 metres, 42 post-contact metres. He had 4 tackle busts in this game, 25 tackles, 0 missed there at centre. Defensively, really solid on that right-hand side. Obviously, in the second half, with Ben Trbojevic going off with a hamstring injury, again, so unfortunate. It feels like every time he plays somewhere other than back row, he gets injured. And obviously, being pushed into the centres, he's been injured again. I think it's his 3rd or 4th hammy now as well. Yeah, just so devastating for Ben Trbojevic. We'll talk about that in a second. But as soon as he came off the field, Roger, Marcelo Montoya, they did start to get a little bit more go forward. And in the second half, they started to get a little bit more go forward anyway. Roger finished the game with 17 runs for 201 metres, 77 post-contact. He had 3 tackle busts in this game. And Marcelo Montoya on that left-hand side as well, 183 metres off 20 runs, 49 post-contact metres. He had 7 tackle breaks, 7 tackle busts in this game. Really, really solid from both the left-hand side guys. And as we said, obviously in the first half, defended really well by that right-hand side for Manly, Ben Trbojevic. Obviously Jackson Paulo, I believe, on that right-hand side as well. Defended very, very well by the right-hand side defense. But that also just speaks volumes of how the game went. It was a very defensive, tough game through the middle of the park. And speaking about the middles, let's talk about them. Obviously, for the Warriors, Adam Fanua-Blake standing up in this game with 96 meters of 21 runs, 78 post-contact meters, 19 hit-ups, 47 tackles, only 3 missed. Monster performance from Adam Fanua-Blake, and he played 74 minutes. He nearly played the full 80. Absolutely insane stuff from Adam Fanua-Blake. He had an absolute blinder. Speaking about guys that played 80 minutes, Tohu Harris played 82 minutes in this game, 148 meters from 26 runs, 26 runs of the football. For a lock forward, that is just unheard of. 148 metres, 24 post-contact metres. He had a line break assist and a try assist in this game. He was solid there through the middle. And then Mitch Barnett having another solid week, 17 runs, 164 metres, 68 post-contact metres as well, 14 hit-ups there for big Mitch Barnett. He made 50 tackles in the front row, 50 tackles there. Just absolute tackle bots in this side. 47 for Adam Fanua-Blake, 58 for Wade Egan, 50 for Mitch Barnett, 54 for Tohu Harris. You know, just really, really solid in the middle through their defense. And a lot of their starting guys played close to the full game. Their bench rotation getting 18 minutes for Chanel Aristavita, 22 for Tom Allais, 9 minutes for Jazz Tavanga, obviously scoring a try in that time as well off a short ball from Tohu Harris. And then Jacob Laban only getting 19 minutes. So their starters playing close to the full game, which is just crazy. Let's talk about the Manly Seagulls now. Obviously, we brought it up before, but Ben Trbojevic, 65 minutes in, does his hamstring. So unfortunate. He is such a great footballer. And he did obviously start the year in some pretty decent form. The form dipped a little bit, but now this injury going to have him out for the next, I guess, 6 weeks. these hammy injuries do tend to drag out a little bit. It is so devastating for the Manly Sea Eagles and for Ben Trbojevic. Luckily, they do get Ruben Garrick back in the centres next week, but Ben Trbojevic, just such a hard worker, puts in 110%, did very well in the centres. As we said, this right-hand side defence for the Manly Sea Eagles doing very well against that left side for the Warriors, and for the first half, really quieting down the effects of Roger Tuivasa-Sheck and Marcelo Montoya on that left, and also forcing two errors from Roger Tuivasa-Sheck and two errors from Jackson Ford as well. So you got to give credit where credit's due here. Ben Trbojevic, he had a solid game for the 65 minutes he was on. He ran for 97 metres of 14 runs. Had a tackle bust in there as well. 31 post-contact metres. Had a line break as well. Obviously, really solid in the defence, though. That was the main thing for me. Defended guys like Roger Tuivasa-Sheck in that first half, especially, very, very well. And then obviously DCE having an absolute blinder again, kicking for 689 metres of 22 kicks. Insane stuff. His kicking game was so important in this game. Luke Brooks as well, I thought, was a standout. His ball running on that left-hand side as well. His service was great every time. He was creating so many opportunities with his running game. Had 10 runs in this game. But every time he ran the football, creating opportunities for his outside men. His passing game was great, as we said. He was lethal. Two tackle busts in there as well for Luke Brooks. I thought that both the halves, DCE and Luke Brooks, had blinders. Obviously as well, Tom Trbojevic, 25 runs, 241 metres, 77 post-contact metres. He had two try assists, three tackle busts, a line break. He's getting back to some of his best as well. As we said on BTFU, and what we've said for the past few weeks on BTFU as well, Tom Trbojevic just getting more confident every single week. He was unreal in this game, though. Obviously, again, these two fullbacks having an absolute showdown here. We can talk all about the seven showdown with DCE and Sean Johnson, but Tom Trbojevic and Chance Nickel-Klockstad, it was an absolute showdown for those guys as well. And then you move into the middle of the field. Taniela Paseka, 21 runs, 198 metres, 82 post-contact metres. He had 21 hit-up with four tackle busts in there as well. And then obviously, look at the defensive stats, 37 tackles, only two missed. He played 62 minutes. Incredible stuff. Obviously, Josh Aloye, in the 47 minutes that he was on, had a blinder as well. 14 runs for 140 metres. He had 55 post-contact metres, 13 hit-ups for three tackle busts in there as well. 26 tackles, only two missed there. And then you move onto the edges. Hamole Olakau'atu, he has to be locked in for Origin for me. He was incredible for this Manly Sea Eagles side. He had 13 runs for 154 metres. He had 88 post-contact metres, 11 tackle busts. He was just unstoppable. That means he was very close to having one tackle bust or breaking one tackle per run, which is just insane. So dangerous, Hamole Olakau'atu. And then defensively as well, he made 30 tackles, missing four. But still, just a solid knock for Hamole Olakau'atu, having a real dig out there, having a strong, strong game. And then obviously you move onto the bench, some of their bench guys standing up. In particular, Tofor Sipley, insane. He ended up playing 45 minutes in this game, had 18 runs for 169 metres, 71 post-contact metres, 16 hit-ups, 21 tackles, only one miss. Unbelievable. Shout-out to Kyle Lawton as well, had to play multiple roles in this team, obviously with Ben Trbojevic coming off the field, had to go into the centres, and then obviously with Wade Egan coming off the field as well, with Lachlan Croker coming off the field. He had to go back into hooker for the back end of the game while they got another guy to go out into the centres. But had to play multiple roles in this side. Obviously, Carl Lawton, and still managed to get 34 tackles with zero miss. So shout out to him. I thought that he had a real dig out there and played his role well wherever he was placed in this side. Jakey Trbojevic as well. He had 17 runs for 158 metres in this game. And then obviously 49 tackles, only one miss. Defensively solid. Had a blinder. The 13th battle in this one as well. Jakey Trbojevic going up against Tohu Harris. It was such an even game, and it can't get more even than the possession being 50-50. Yes, the possession was 50-50. The Manly Seagulls, if you want specifics, only had the ball for an extra 7 seconds. You look at time in possession on the NRL app, it says the Warriors had possession of the ball for 33 minutes and 2 seconds. when the Manly Seagulls had possession of the ball for 33 minutes and 9 seconds. So only 7 seconds being the difference. Just insane. And then obviously look at the completion rate as well. It was quite even as well. 78% for the Warriors, completing 40 of 51 sets. Most of those incompletions came from errors in the first half, so they did improve their completion rate rapidly in the second. As for the Manly Seagulls, 38 from 45 sets at 84% for the game. So, so solid. Both of these sides having an absolute war out there. A few conversions, obviously, being the difference as well here for the Warriors. If they got one more conversion, they probably would have won the game. Same deal for the Manly Seagulls as well. Only one conversion away from a win. Now, the next game was obviously the Eels taking on the Cowboys. Now, you look at the scoreline, 27-20, and you think, fuck, this must have been a very close game, just like the previous. And for the back end of the game, it was. It was definitely a closer game towards the back end. But, you know, for the first, I guess, few minutes, especially in that first half, the Cowboys were on top. They were on top. They were unreal in this game. Obviously, Kyle felt that try that was disallowed by the end of it. But to start the game in the first 3 minutes or so, he made a super unreal break that gave this side a lot of momentum and then ended up scoring a try off the back of it as well. You know, obviously the try was called no try, but it gave the Cowboys a lot of confidence. They started breaking the line a lot more. They looked a lot better in attack. Obviously had a run of momentum from that play. Got a lot of confidence from it and really troubled the Eels in the first half. Parramatta, they had a pretty shocking start, making 2 errors in the first few minutes of the game. Obviously after the first 10 minutes, Parramatta started to turn it around, but Scott Drinkwater, you know, Tom Dearden with his running game, Chad Townsend's kicking game and passing game in this one as well, but just the forwards as well. Jason Taumalolo, every time he ran the ball, it was with 110%. Jordan McLean being one of the more consistent front rowers at the moment in the competition, really averaging 150 or so metres per game. Just the absolute freight train in there in the middle. A guy that no one's really talking about because he's Jordan McLean, realistically. He's not a Jason Taumalolo. He's not a Payne Haas, James Fisher-Harris. No one's really talking about him, but he is one of the more consistent front rowers at the moment in the competition, and we'll get to that in a second. Let's talk about Parramatta first. Obviously, as we said, a shocking start for them in this game. They did turn it around after 10 minutes, and they looked a little bit better, but Bryce Cartwright on the edge there with a few poor attacking reads cost them 2 errors. It gave the Cowboys a lot of ball. And that was pretty much the tone of that first half. Parramatta giving the Cowboys a lot of ball in the first half with these errors, which pretty much cost the Parramatta Reels in that first half. And if they continued that trend into the second half, it probably would have meant that the Cowboys would have won this game. It sort of flipped on its head a little bit in the second half. The Cowboys started to make a few more errors, and the Eels, they got a lot more structured. Shout out to Dejan Arce. He was a big part of that as well. I thought Dejan Arce, when he started running the ball more and being a bit more direct on that left-hand side, a lot more structure came into this side's playing style for the Parramatta Eels. Although the Dejan Arce really straightened up their attack, I thought that he was unreal in this game. Probably one of the more better 5-8s, I should say, from the weekend. Really, really solid play. They did get a lot of momentum in that second half from Regan Campbell-Gillard. I thought that he was outstanding in this football contest, especially when the game was tight. He was unreal. 58 minutes, 152 metres of 16 runs, 49 post-contact metres. Ended up having 20 tackles in there as well, but just so solid every time he ran the ball. Coming out of the line to put that hit on Jason Taumalolo as well, just fearless in defence. Really, really solid game, I think, from this front rower here, Regan Campbell-Gillard, and making a case for Origin for sure. Junior Paulo, I thought, was solid as well. 13 runs for 124 metres, 62 post-contact metres, 13 hit-ups with 2 tackle busts, 15 tackles, 0 missed there. Obviously, Regan Campbell-Gillard played 58 minutes. Junior Paulo played 44. So a lot more time for their benchmen as well. Ryan Madison, I thought it wasn't his best performance. Obviously made a few errors in attack. Again, a few misreads there from him. Obviously, it resulted in them bringing Regan Campbell-Gillard and Junior Paulo back onto the field for the final stint there. But,
yeah, it definitely wasn't Ryan Madison's best. I've seen better from him in terms of him being that link man in the middle and obviously in the middle of the field as well. Obviously, Joe Offahan-Galway, I thought, started quite well, ended up starting the game again in this one, played 36 minutes, 68 metres off 7 runs. Could have got a little bit more involved for those 36 minutes, but I thought that he was quite solid when he did run the football. Kel Matualangi wasn't really going to come into the game. He only came in the last few minutes when they pushed Bryce Cartwright into right centre. And he came on into the back row on that same side, I think. But yeah, even for him, he played 14 minutes, only had 2 runs of the football for 17 metres. You know, you'd think you'd want to get a lot more involved when you are having these lower minutes so you can work to get more minutes. But yeah, he probably wasn't going to get onto the field unless that injury happened, to be honest, only having the 14 minutes there and not coming onto the field previously. But yeah, their bench rotation was a little bit weird. Jermaine Hopgood, I thought, had another solid dig, 13 runs. He had 117 metres in this one, had 43 post-contact metres, 11 hit-ups for a tackle bust as well, 34 tackles. I thought Jermaine Hopgood was solid, and again, being that link man and so important to them in that second half. Another standout from this game for the Parramatta Reels was Sean Lane on the edge there. 129 metres off 13 runs, 76 post-contact, 13 hit-ups, 2 tackle busts, 29 tackles, 0 miss. I thought that the way he straightened up the attack on that left-hand side as well, built a good combination with Dejan Arce on that left-hand side. Looked really, really good, Sean Lane. I thought he had an absolute crack out there, played the full 80 minutes as well. It was a bit of a weird one for Bryce Cartwright. Yes, he got moved out to the centres late in the game, obviously, with Morgan Harper coming off. But still, you know, only had 8 runs for 52 metres. It was like he made those errors at the start of the game and then lost a bit of confidence and didn't really run the ball too much after that. Bit of an off week for Bryce Cartwright, but we've seen at the start of the season what he can do. You know, there is an origin spot available to him. I think that he can play himself into a jersey, and from what we saw from him at the start of the year, we know what he can do at his best. This probably wasn't his best for me. Could have played a lot better. Obviously, if he made those reads and those plays came off, he would have looked a lot better, but just needs to tone it down a bit, not always going for the big play or the low percentage play. Start going for more high percentage plays there. Those offloads that he threw weren't really the best and didn't look like coming off at all. And it was just high risk, low reward plays that just didn't need to happen there from Bryce Cartwright. So hopefully he does improve going into the next few weeks for Parramatta. I thought Dylan Brown had a big game. Ran the ball a lot, 13 runs, 147 metres there at halfback, 39 post-contact metres. Had a line break assist, a try assist, 3 tackle busts, 27 tackles, only 1 missed. Defensively solid, but running the ball a lot too. Obviously moving over to the other side of the field on that right. I thought he looked very good. A lot better than what he has in the first few weeks of him being at 7. Obviously, especially last week when they got pumped, he just did not look like he was a 7, but definitely looking a lot better, getting a lot more confidence in that halfback jersey. He's going to be in that jersey for a little while Moses is recovering from this injury. So it is good to see him getting a little bit more confidence there. Now, I thought one of the other standouts, well, two of the other standouts we'll get to for Parramatta before we move on to the Cowboys. One was Will Penasini. I thought that he was unreal. Every run that he took, he just had so much intent. He was making a lot of metres. He looked great. He had 111 metres from 13 runs, 39 post-contact metres, had 2 tackle busts, a line break assist, a try assist, and then defensively too at centre, only missed 1 tackle, made 12. So solid knock from Will Penasini. I thought that he was really solid, and then going over to the left-hand side and still being as effective there. Obviously not used to that left-hand side position, but did quite well filling in for Morgan Harper, who did go off the field. Did a very good job there, Will Penasini. And then Clint Gutherson, just the effort plays from him. 18 runs, 164 metres, 53 post-contact, a line break assist, a try assist, 3 tackle busts. You could tell that the flogging that they copped last week meant a lot to him. Obviously coming out and having a big performance, getting heavily involved. And then obviously at the end of the game, getting so hyped up at this win. It was a huge win for Parramatta, obviously, at the start of the game, not performing the best for them to turn it around in that second half. It was unreal. It's just about getting that performance into an 80-minute performance from what we saw from them at their best. Now, as for the Cowboys, they started off the game really well, obviously completing at a high rate. Parramatta giving them a lot of ball. You know, Scott Drinkwater and Tom Dearden, every time they got the ball in their hands from these errors, they used it the right way. They completed at a high rate, as we said before. Looked really, really solid. Tom Dearden, his running game is so valuable to them. And the combination he's building with Scott Drinkwater on that left-hand side is so dangerous. So dangerous. And we saw that in this game. Super, super dangerous. I really enjoyed Scott Drinkwater, though. Just the body control and the passing game from him, especially for that Tom Chester try for him to just skip and prance so easily like that and still manage to get the pass away for Tom Chester to score that try. So, so good. Scott Drinkwater setting up a few tries in this game for the Cowboys. He has looked so good over the past few weeks, and he's really putting his name forward for that fullback spot for the Blues, you know, competing with guys like Dylan Edwards and James Tedesco. Finished the game with 13 runs for 99 metres, had 11 post-contact metres, two try assists, obviously two line break assists in there as well, four tackle busts. Obviously, then a bit of a kicking game too. He kicked for 131 metres off six kicks there. So, kicking the ball a lot in this game as well, getting heavily involved in this one, almost being like a second halfback in this game. Looked really solid, Scott Drinkwater. As I said, the body control, the things he can do with the football in hand, just so valuable to this outfit. If there is one, you know, criticism here for Scott Drinkwater, I would have liked to have seen him run the ball a little bit more when they had the ball in their hands, especially in that second half where they were struggling and obviously making a few more errors, not performing like they did in the first half, because he's just so dangerous. The Cowboys just need him to get heavily involved. Other than that, I thought he was really good, especially when the Cowboys were performing. Valentine Holmes as well in the centres. 14 runs, 104 metres, 27 post-contact metres, two line breaks, a line break assist, four tackle busts, six tackles made as well there at centre. Tom Chester, shout out to him. Very similar stats here. 14 runs, 116 metres, 32 post-contact metres, two line breaks, four tackle busts. Obviously, 13 tackles there at centre as well, defending on that right-hand side. He has looked very, very good at centre, especially in this game. Obviously, with Zach Laibat out for the rest of the year, you'd imagine that Tom Chester, after this performance, keeps that spot. He was great. We talked in the Origin podcast, and you would have seen in that reel, Rando threw, statistically, a bit of a smoky at you guys in Kyle Felt to get a spot on the wing for the Maroons. Statistically, is leading in most of the stats, but he finished the game with 9 runs for 121 metres, 30 post-contact metres. He had 3 line breaks, 5 tackle busts. Still looked quite good, in my opinion, when he ran the ball. Obviously, that first break at the start of the game was quite good. Could have run the ball a little bit more, especially, you know, obviously, since they didn't kick to him that much. They obviously kicked more to Murray Taulagi, and when you look at his stats, you probably understand, you know, that they did kick a lot more to him and to his side, but I didn't mind Kyle Felt. I thought when he did run the ball, he looked quite good. Murray Taulagi, though, 15 runs, 190 metres, 68 post-contact. He had 2 line breaks, a line break assist, a try assist, 3 tackle busts, and then obviously made 3 tackles. Did not miss one tackle there on the wing. So great stuff from Murray Taulagi. Moving into that 5'8 jersey, obviously Tom Dearden, his running game was so, so valuable to this team. He ran the ball 20 times, obviously 110 metres. Shout out to Chad Townsend as well, running the ball quite a bit, 19 runs for him for 90 metres. I thought the halves for the Cowboys, when the Cowboys did have a lot of momentum, were very, very good, especially, as we said, in that first half. Now, a guy that we brought up at the start of this review was Jordan McLean. I thought he was great. Obviously finished the game with 133 metres, 51 post-contact, 10 hit-ups in this game. Then also finished the game with 19 tackles and 0 missed. I thought that he was quite consistent and has been consistent with his running game over the past few weeks. And even the Fox commentators started to recognise that he was putting in a lot of effort in this game. And Jason Taumalolo having one of his better games of the season. I thought that he was quite good in his 8 runs for 99 metres, 57 post-contact metres, 4 tackle busts in there as well. And then obviously had 21 tackles, only missed 2. As I said, but definitely one of his better games. 42 minutes, you want to see him have a few more runs. Obviously, you compare that to Jordan McLean's performance. He had 15 runs. So you want to see Jason run the ball a little bit more, but I did think when he ran the ball, he was quite good. I thought that he had one of his better games of this season, and that I've seen from him for a while, obviously, since before he had all those wrist issues last year. But to sum up,
you know, the Cowboys were the better team in the first half. The Parramatta Eels in the second half were the better team. I thought that Scott Drinkwater was a standout. Tom Dearden was a standout for me. And then obviously for the Parramatta Eels, Regan Campbell-Gillard there through the middle, Gutho, Will Penasini. There were a few standouts here from the Parramatta Reels. Sean Lane, I thought, was great. Luca Morietti, his intensity when he came onto the field, the way that he ran the ball, 8 runs, 74 metres, but every time he ran the ball, it was just so much fight in him, and even in defence, came up with some pretty big defensive plays too when they were defending on their goal line. So shout out to Luca Morietti. It's probably one of the better games I've seen him play since he debuted. So solid performance there from Luca Morietti. Solid performance from the Parramatta Reels in that second half, and they grabbed the win in a very tight game. That's full time. See you in the next one.